On today's Technobabble, free image sites.
Technobabble, your weekly source for church video and graphics news, perspectives, tips, and tricks. And now here's your host, Paul Clifford.
Thanks and welcome again to another episode of Technobabble. I, of course, am your host, Paul Allen Clifford. Hey, you can join the conversation by dropping me a line, Paul, at trinitydigitalmedia.com. All those words are spelled the normal way. Or head over to Twitter. I'm very active over there. My Twitter name is at Paul Allen Cliff. That's PaulAlanClif. If you'd prefer to give me a call, 1-877-763-3246 or 1-877-POD-ECHO to echo back to this podcast. By the way, if you're watching this on YouTube, please subscribe. That would really help me out a bunch. And if you're listening to this on iTunes, if you could leave me a review. Of course, I would prefer 5 stars, but honesty is the best policy, so do what you would like there. So let's get started, shall we? Okay, so last week we talked about do-it-yourself versus stock photography, and I kind of drew this distinction between the totally free way of doing it and the paid way of doing it, and we talked about that. Well, there's kind of a middle ground, and that is to find free photos. Now, step one is what not to do. And what not to do is do not open Google image search. Search for the appropriate image that you find it, download it, and use it. Because a lot of those images are copyright protected. Now, when I say copyright protected, it's not that you can't use them, it's that you shouldn't. And so there are a lot of photographers that put their work up hoping that people will hire them for other things or buy prints or things like that, but they don't want people to just use their photos willy-nilly. So that's caution number one, is don't use Google image search for this. There are other sites that are designed specifically for this. So the very first one that I've used for years and years and years is Stock Exchange. So if you go to sxc.hu, yeah, I know it sounds like it's a spam site, but it's not. sxc.hu, that will take you to a place where you can search for free stock photos. Now, anytime you do the search, you'll notice that the first 8 or whatever photos are not free, and they're really good photos. That's why they're not free. Well, that's how Stock Exchange makes their money, ads, and they figure if you're willing to search for a free one, if they give you a better one from a stock photo site, you might just go, well, screw it, that's exactly what I need, I'm just going to go and pay my $20 and download that and call it a day. And a lot of people do that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're on a budget, if you don't have the money, they have plenty of other photos. A lot of times they're photos from people that are prosumer. And by that, I mean they're not consumer. It's not that everyone on there just takes out a point-and-shoot and shoots stuff on their desk. No, they typically tend to be higher-end photographers that are like hobbyists, You know, the uncle that always shows up with a camera to family events, and he has three lenses with him, and, you know, that kind of person. The person that takes really good photos, but doesn't necessarily do it for a living. That's the kind of person that takes photos for stock exchange. One caution, you need to read what the owner of the photo has said is their limitation. Some of them, they don't care. They're just happy someone cares enough to use their photo. Other people want to know what their photo is used for, so you need to let them know. A third group of people really want you to ask their permission. Now, they tend to give it, but just keep that in mind as you're searching through these sites, that it could be that you've got a little bit of work ahead of you when you work with them. So, something to consider. Next site that I've used in the past, in fact, basically, if I don't make it for my blog, I tend to check this site, and that is PhotoPen. Now, PhotoPen is interesting in that they don't have any photos of their own, necessarily. They're mostly just searching Flickr. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But so Flickr, or what they do on PhotoPen is they search Flickr, but they search Flickr for Creative Commons images. So let me define Creative Commons. There's a law professor at one of the Ivy League schools, I forget which one, that noticed that the problem with copyright is it reserves every single possible right you can have related to a work. So since it reserves every single possible right, your only choice was, well, I'm going to let my photo go out into the public domain where you can do anything in the world with it, or I'm going to keep my copyright where only I can do anything in the world with it without giving people explicit written permission. And that seemed problematic. Let's say it that way. Problematic. So he created this set of licenses called Creative Commons, and they allow you to do different things. Now there's one that, hey, sky's the limit, you do whatever you want. But there, the two that PhotoPen concentrates on are the, you can use it however you want as long as it's non-commercial, and you can use it however you want as long as, whether it's commercial or not. So, when I do my search, I always check the commercial use box. Now, that whittles down my choices, but since I'm a blog that has advertising, I figure it's probably safer to think of myself as a commercial entity, even though I'm not making a lot of money. Better safe than sorry, right? So that's what I do. I think for churches, you can make the argument either way. If you want to be safe, I think I would go with the commercial license and do that one. So that is PhotoPen. And again, you'll notice the first few results look great, and you have to click on them and buy them somewhere to actually use them. Those are ads. So you have to scroll down past the first few to get to the free ones. Next is Flickr. If you've got a friend that always puts up their images on Flickr and they put them in Creative Commons, remember what Creative Commons was, then by all means, you can use those. You could search on Flickr, and if you find something and it's Creative Commons, feel free to use it. Keep in mind that on Flickr, you have the choice between all rights reserved or Creative Commons. So make sure you check which license scheme they're using. If they're using the traditional license, then the only way you're allowed to use it is by getting permission from the creator. Now, it could be that you would get away with using it without permission. I just wouldn't. I find that kind of morally repugnant, that people in the church who are doing morally good things would try and basically steal a work of art from an artist. Jesus and the Apostle Paul both said that the worker is worth his wages, and so I think that you really have a hard time making the case that it's okay to steal. I just don't. And Romans 13, by the way, all about following the law from a guy who is eventually killed by the very people he told to follow the law. He did say that if you wanted to break the law, just keep in mind that you deserve the punishment that you're given. So I think that he didn't enjoy the Roman laws against Christianity, but he was willing to sacrifice to spread the good news. So with that in mind, I don't see anything in the Bible that says, no, feel free to take it. You're doing good work. Which is quite in contrast to the way a lot of Christians kind of view the law and how we should interact with it. So just remember that. So I've talked about PhotoPen, I've talked about Stock Exchange, I've talked about Flickr. By the way, there is a group on Flickr called The Commons, and this got me thinking, because The Commons has public domain images, so older stuff. Well, it could be that you need a picture of four men in early 1900s bathing costumes on the beach. If you do, the page I'm looking at has from the National Library of Australia Commons a picture of four dudes in bathing costumes. I'm not talking bathing suits. I'm talking the bathing costumes, like from the early 1900s, where they had a shirt and shorts all matching and stuff. Yeah, that stuff. If that's what you need, you got it there. Now, it's black and white, but, you know, it's in the public domain, so you can do with it as you wish. So they have that collection on Flickr as well. But that got me thinking. Is there anywhere else where there are public domain photos? Now, public domain means it has no copyright. No one can ever sue you because it was made long enough ago that no one really owns it. So that's why the Bible itself isn't copyrighted in the original languages. The editing of the Bible, and that is, by that I mean, there are bazillions of manuscripts determining which one is correct. That is much more modern, as opposed to just taking one and saying, well, that's what I got, we're going with this one. Also, the translation is also copyrighted, unless you're talking about the King James. That's why there are so many King James Bibles, because it was translated in 1611, and that is much past the copyright date of the translators. So even if we went to modern laws, which is the life of the artist plus 70 years, so even if you did that, all the translators have been dead for more than 70 years. So the King James is public domain. Understand? So you could print off your own King James Bible right now, bind it, sell it to your heart's content. No one can stop you. Just, that's what public domain means. So it got me thinking, where is there another collection of public domain stuff? Archive.org. I'm trying to fight off a sneeze here. I don't know if I'm going to succeed. I'll try and stifle it. So, archive.org is the home of the Internet Archive. And the Internet Archive is trying to protect everything that they can that's not under copyright. And if it is under copyright and you submit it with the Creative Commons license, then you can also put it on archive.org. So basically, they want to be the 21st century equivalent of the Library in Alexandria. The Library of Alexandria was famous for having every single book they could get their hands on. And it's kind of a tragedy that the place burned down, because I bet there were some great ancient books with all kinds of wisdom that is lost forever. Because they didn't have printing presses, so there weren't millions of copies out there. Even if they stopped making Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life, today, there would be millions of copies out there, and in 1,000 years, someone could probably find a copy of Purpose Driven Life. Understand? So, Internet Archive is trying to be the Library of Alexandria for the 21st century. They've got tons of stuff there, including photos. They also have videos, live music, audio, texts. So sometimes when I'm looking for like historical footage for a video, I'll go to the Internet Archive, because like footage from NASA, because NASA is a division of the U.S. government, nothing they do is copyrighted, so I can therefore find video of like the Apollo 13 launch and use it. I just made that up. I don't know if there is any video of the Apollo 13 launch there, but there's other rocket video that I have used on occasion because it's public domain. So those are the places that I would look. Now, I'll tell you, there are some cautions. There are people out there that will buy the professional stock photo, stock video, stock audio. They'll buy it, and then they will upload it to one of these sites, and then they will mark that it is Creative Commons. So, here presents a problem. You're innocently looking for video or audio or a still picture for your church's website, and you come across one and you think, man, this one's great. It almost looks like one on one of those stock photo sites. I'm totally using it. You check, and sure enough, there it is on Flickr. It's marked Creative Commons, and you think, score, gold mine, and you take it and you run with it. And then you get a cease and desist letter because the person that put it up on Flickr didn't have the right to put it up on Flickr. And they didn't have the right to call it public domain, or Creative Commons, rather. They just decided that they were going to do what they wanted to do, and as a result, you're in a little bit of trouble. Not a huge amount of trouble, but potentially you could be sued for this, even though you were innocently doing what was right. So let me add a step to your stock photo search if you go for the free stock photos. I want you to go to images.google.com, and at least in Google Chrome this will work. I haven't tested it in Firefox, Safari, probably doesn't work in Internet Explorer. That's just the way it is. Sorry, Internet Explorer tends to be not great. Recently they've done better, but not as good as they could be. So, anyway, so go to images.google.com, and on images.google.com, you'll find that you have two little icons in the search box. You may or may not have the microphone, so that's one of them, which is search by voice, but you probably have search by image. So if you click on search by image, you can either paste the image URL, which is something I would do, or if you've already downloaded it, you can upload it to Google, and they will compare the image the image itself to what they have. So I found a photo which was a woman up against a white background, which tends to be a stock photo. And I was kind of suspecting that maybe, just maybe, this isn't fair game. So what I did is I did a Google image search to see if... Told you I was going to sneeze. Sorry about that. I did a Google image search, a reverse image search. I downloaded it and I pasted it into Google image search. And I looked, and lo and behold, the only place that it was showing up was all these other blogs. And I looked and looked and looked, and I couldn't find a stock photo site that had originally sold this image. Since I found a place that where they would have gotten it from, Flickr, where it was marked Creative Commons, I could have still erred on the side of caution and said, I've got a bad feeling about this. But instead, having done a reverse image search and not found anywhere where I could buy this image, I thought, there's at least a good chance that maybe this is a test shot or this is something where someone put it up as Creative Commons. So I went for it. Now, that's up to you whether you want to do that, but I think it's a little more in line with doing your due diligence. My mouth didn't want to work there for a second. Doing your due diligence and searching to see if this image, which looks a little too good, is in fact a stock image. So, you know, if you find a horribly ugly looking image, chances are it's probably not stock. If you find a beautiful image that looks like something you'd see in an art gallery, double check. If it still comes out that it's not really a stock photo, then it's something that it's up to you if you want to risk that or not. In my case, I decided I would go for it, but that's a rare exception. So you can always err on the side of caution and just say anything that looks like it's a stock photo, I'm just not going to use that. And you'll be safer than purposely looking for the ones that are stock photos. Understand? So that's one of the downsides of using this. Another downside is these photos just, well, quite frankly, they're not as good. If you compare something from Getty Images or one of the other ones that I discussed last week, if you compare those to something you get off of Stock Exchange or Flickr or Photo Bucket, or PhotoPen rather, not Photo Bucket. Photo Bucket's totally different. If you compare those, you'll find that you do, in fact, have a difference in quality. Now, it could be that you don't care about that difference. Some of them are very high quality. Some of them, not so much. So a low-quality stock photo is usually just a hair better than a high-quality free photo, typically. Not always. Sometimes the difference is huge. Sometimes it looks like, oh, this is just someone's snapshot that they took with their iPhone or something, and it looks like they didn't even care. But sometimes it's well-composed and it looks great and you want to use it. But there is a limitation. So keep that in mind as you're doing your searches. And I hope this is helpful to you. on last week's show, I did get a question, and I'll answer this again tomorrow, about someone asked for stock audio. And I assume he means, like, music. If you're going to do that, YouTube has some stock music that you can use, and I'm using some of that for one of my shows. But a better way to look is what I found is JewelBeats.com, and JewelBeats is very inexpensive, like 99 cents a song, and they have pretty good music. So they do have some free stuff, so always check the free before you pony up the dough. But if you do pay for it, tends to be 99 cents. Check the license, because it's more under certain circumstances. But for a video you're showing in your church, 99 cents, that's worth it. That peace of mind of spending 99 cents and knowing you're covered is much better than the thought of, I might be okay. I mean, you know, if I understand the copyright law, right, I'm only using... No, that's just not really worth it. So don't go with that way of thinking. Just go to the trouble of getting the right music with the right rights. You're not going to get anything by Stephen Curtis Chapman, by the way. You're not going to get Twyla Paris. None of those contemporary Christian artists, but you might find something that will work, and you won't be distracted by lyrics necessarily. So that's helpful. So let's use all these tips and tricks, and including the ones that'll save you a little bit of money, to go out and change eternity. Until next time, I'm Paul Allen Clifford with Trinity Digital Media. .com